live in these different worlds. I think the first one that you think about is how you see yourself. We all have an image, don't we? Have a self-image. You see yourself a certain way. And there's times where maybe that self-image gets changed by something that happens, or maybe you get a different haircut, or somebody says something, and then you start to think, I thought I was like this, but I see myself differently. But we see ourselves in certain ways. And you have a certain perception of not only who you are, how good of a person you are, the things you've done that are good. And there's times where someone treats you in a way that you that doesn't coincide or doesn't go together with how you see yourself. And right away, you start to feel a little defensive or hurt because you think, they don't know me. They've obviously misjudged me or seen something different because that's not who I am. I know who I am, and that's not it. You are that person. There's a person you see yourself as. There's another person is the person we want people to see. Have you ever known that? Have you ever dropped in on somebody and they say, I got to put my face on? Have you ever had that happen? Because that's not who they want you to see. Or, I mean, that's superficial, but there's a lot of times where we act a certain way around people because it's what we want them to see, right? And it's not always the same at home. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is, in studying this, especially as a youth pastor all those years, the number one reason that young people would leave the faith is if there was hypocrisy in their home. That's a painful thing to hear. But if mom and dad don't act like the Christian they act like at church at home, then that speaks volumes to a young person. It just does. I remember this is, oh, my mom's going to listen to this and be mad, but I remember teasing my mother about this because I would be getting in trouble. I know it's hard to imagine me getting in trouble, but I would be getting in trouble for something and she would be sternly speaking to me and then the phone would ring. So she'd be like, oh, and then the phone would ring, hello? And I remember, I can see it happening because we were in the living dining or whatever it was, this tiny little room right beside, we had this little bar by the kitchen and it was that avocado green, you know, the 70s. You know what I'm talking about? And then the phone was on the wall right here. And I could just see her standing right here by the phone. Hello? And I remember I started laughing. She's like, you're in big trouble now. Because, oh, man. We have that person, though, we want people to see. I mean, she wouldn't have wanted, I don't know who was on the phone, but she wouldn't have wanted them to see that her. But that's all of us. We're all that way at one time or another. But we wouldn't want people to see that person. Then there's another person. It's what we think people see. That this to me is the funniest part. We think they see something that may or may not even be true. And we know it's not who we are, but we think they see something. You hope it's who you want them to see, but you know at times it may not be, but you have an idea of what you think it is, but that may or may not correspond to reality. And then there's a person that people actually see. Now that could be painful, couldn't it? What if we really saw what other people see in us? Oh my goodness. Sometimes it could be good. Because I know people with self-image and I try to tell them, I wish you could see what I see. You're amazing and you're this and you're this and you're this. So maybe that cuts both ways, but there is that person that other people see. But there's somebody else that you are that is really real, and that's who God sees. It's the what about you that God sees. Because he sees something in you that's different than those other four. He sees something different than even what you see. Because think of it like this. You as the creator, if you were the creator of the universe and you created you, you would know you in and out and all the potential. You would know everything that you were intended to be. You would know every foible, every great thing, every gift, every downfall, everything. You would know it in a way that is more full and more true than anything. Think of it like your kids. You know your kids. Especially when they're younger. I think you know them more when they're younger. As they get older, maybe that's a little different. But as they're younger, you know about them. Think about how you feel when maybe they come home and somebody was mean to them at school. And you think, if they only knew how great my kid was. And this great personality. Because you know them. You know things about them that nobody else knows. Because they're your kid. And that's how God is with us. Think about this. I mean, similar to those things. There's those faces that we put on for the different places we go. Have you noticed that? Different places. I mean, we have these places that we go and we present this different version of ourselves, you know, wherever that is. I was dressed a little differently about 30 minutes ago because I've been teaching these classes over at Summit Christian School and they have a dress code. Now, they've told me as a part-time teacher and as a teacher, and because I teach my classes in the church next door, I don't actually have to dress in dress code. But I feel like if the students have to, I should do it. So I actually had to go buy some khaki pants. I didn't own any. And I wear these shirts and I tuck them in, which is fine. It's just, I do that. I look a certain way there. And what's really funny is then if I go to a football game there and dress like I normally do, it's really funny for them to see me and they look at, oh, whoa, Pastor Luce, I didn't recognize you because I didn't look the same. And then even some of you who were here earlier said, oh, you got your school clothes on, I see, and because I didn't look the same. In fact, Richard told me I probably couldn't preach with anointing if I had dressed like that because I usually dress like this. And so I appreciate that, Richard. It made me feel better about changing. You notice we put different faces on for the different groups we're around? Sometimes, you know, you act serious. Sometimes you act silly. And there's times where I might be in a meeting with other ministers and I kind of tell myself, okay, you need to dial it back a little bit because these guys are all serious and you're just not as serious. So you need to be quiet. Have you ever noticed that you put a different face as you walk down the street sometimes, even depending on who you're walking by or who you're near? Or certainly at church, I think we put a different face on at times. And I don't think that's all bad. It's just who we are. You know, we want to be happy, and people ask you how you are, and you say fine. In fact, Ashley, you told me you're fine earlier. And then she sent me a message saying, well, actually, I have this huge thing going on, and I'm looking at it like, this is you, right? And she said yes, because that's what we do. We put a face on, right? We don't want everybody to look at us and feel sorry for us or pity or know all the things that we're working with or dealing with. I mean, we put these faces on, and it makes sense. Put a different face on with strangers, and especially if they're really strange strangers. You notice that, right? You do it. The stranger they are, the stranger stranger. My question tonight is, as if. Do you live as if those people are the real people, the real you? I mean, do we live as if those are the person that we are? Because it changes all the time. So are we living as if that's real or as if this is real? And then you start to evaluate and wonder what's inside and who is the real you. And I think about some of the verses that we're so familiar with. And I think for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if I live as if that's my reality every minute, I live a very different reality. And my face is going to look really different. If I'm constantly thinking about this, and this is true for me and it's true for you and true for everybody. And if we live in that present reality at every moment, as if that is my whole reality, and it is true, I live a very sad life. And similarly, in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. If I live as if that is my life, it's going to be way different than is if I live as if the whole verse is my life. Because there's times where I live as if the first part is my life, and I forget that second part. And I walk around filled with guilt or feeling down about, you know, my life and wondering, God, how come I can't live for you more consistently? But if I live as if the whole verse is there, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, then I'm going to live differently. If I live as if that second part of the verse is true, then it changes everything. It changes everything about the way I live. St. Augustine said it a little differently. He said, God loves each of us as if we were the only one. Now, he said this, and this is not in the Bible per se, but he said this in correlation to this statement. He said, if you were the only one alive, God would have sent Christ to redeem you. If I live as if that's true, I live differently. I live differently because that elevates everything, and it makes me realize that there is a God in the universe who loves me that much. Then his love is going to compel me. It's going to make me live in a different way than if I was living in the shadow of my sin. If I live in the shadow of this, as if this is on my mind at every moment and he loves me that much, how could I ever think of sinning against him? How could I ever do anything wrong? I mean, that's really the definition of perfect love. I want us to grab a hold of that tonight, and it's impossible really to fully comprehend it, but a love like that is perfect. We can't hardly even approach that. I mean, you love people, and we love people. You love your husband, you love your wife, you love the person sitting next to you, I'm sure. You love them, but it's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be something there which needs to grow or improve, or you need to forgive, or you need to forget, or you need to ignore, right? Now, God doesn't do that. He knows all of it and loves you anyway. He knows all of it, and he gave his son to die for you in the middle of it. His love is so big and so perfect. It's just hard to even get our minds around because it's so different. Do you realize this? He cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. Right now. He can't love you any more than he loves you on the day the last time you made a mistake and sinned. For some of you, it was today, minutes ago maybe. I don't know. He can't love you anymore. You can't make him love you anymore. You can't make him love you any less. His love for you is not dependent on your behavior or your choices or your attitudes or how good you've been or how good you might be. Some people think, they say things like, well, the reason God loves you is he knew that you would accept him as Savior and you would do great things in the future. That's not true. The Bible does not say that. It says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right in the middle of our sin. You cannot love him anymore. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, at any time. Another theologian, Soren Kierkegaard, said this. He said, God loves you as much today as he did on the day he sent his one and only son to die for you. That blows my mind. Because as I think of Calvary, and I think of the ages leading up to Calvary, and all the prophets that prophesied toward that day, all the psalms that mention that, all the things as God was preparing to redeem us as humanity and to sacrifice his son. And I think through all that Jesus went through leading up to and in the garden and then the crucifixion itself and all that torment and sacrificing his life. I am amazed at the love of God. And then to think he loves you like that today and yesterday. And when you sinned and when you were short-tempered and when you said that to your wife you shouldn't say. And when you kicked your dog and all those things that we do here and there that... Yeah, he loves you that much. What if you lived as if that love was real to you at every moment? That would change everything. It would change everything. If you lived as if that was true at every single second. I think we live with a little doubt, though. I think that each of us live with a little bit of doubt that he really loves us like that. And I thought of a couple reasons why we might do that. But I think it's one of them is that I think it goes back to that idea that we're not worthy. We know we're not worthy of that measure of love. I mean, if we're honest, we're not really worthy of each other's love, our spouse's love. We're not. And with God, you'll never be. There's nothing you could do to be. You couldn't ruin it, like I said, and you couldn't make it any better. The fact is, you can't. But I think we live in a little bit of doubt because we think there's no way he would take time for me. I think there's another reason sometimes we live in that doubt. I think it's because when we live in a little bit of doubt that he loves us that much, it makes us feel a little bit better about getting away with things we do wrong. Let me help you follow my thinking here. Because if you really were cognizant and thinking about, and it was in the front of your mind every minute how much he loved you, you would never do anything wrong, right? I mean, everything you did would be out of devotion and love for him because you couldn't help it. And Augustine again, he says, love God and then do whatever you want. And this isn't a license for sin. What it means is if you really love God, do whatever you want because whatever you want to do would be good and would be loving back toward him. You wouldn't think about it. You wouldn't think twice about anything bad because your love for him would compel you that every moment to do things that were amazing and good. All the time, that's how it would be. You never dream of doing anything wrong. If you lived as if that was true in your mind at every moment. He also said, pray as if everything depends on God. And then work as if everything depends on you. Think about some of these. Let me take us now to just a little different thought. You probably remember this from science class. There's all these different types of energy. Do you remember some of those? There's kinetic energy, right? Thermal energy, solar energy. I mean, there's different kinds of energy. Then there's this one potential energy. Do you remember that one? Where there's the potential of energy inherent in the thing, but it has to be released. I think when God looks at us, he sees. And if we could just see him, and then as if we could see the potential that he has put in each of us, I think your whole life would change. Mine would change. We would do everything so differently, as if it really mattered, as if the choices we made made a difference. I think about, Think about like, this is a picture of an oak tree. And I love plants, but I love trees and oak trees. And to think about the potential that's in every one of those acorns to build a tree like that. And when God looks at you, he sees potential that you have not even tapped. I think when we get to heaven, he's going to say, you could have done this. I'm glad about what you did, but this is what all these things he has planned for you to do. And it's limitless. I think we put the limits on them because we see ourselves as we are instead of trying to see us as if we see ourselves the way God sees us. I heard this the other day and it got me going. This is a ear of corn. And it says that man can count the kernels in an ear of corn, but only God then can count how many ears of corn will be produced from each one of those kernels. And the potential involved in all of that is God. I think God wants us to live as if we really believed these verses we're going to look at for a minute here. I'm going to take us to quite a few verses in the book of Romans again. I'm just stuck in Romans lately. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. If you lived as if you were not controlled by your sinful nature, it'd be remarkably different. Instead, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Can you imagine as if we lived as if this was really true? I mean, really, 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 really. I know you know that the Spirit of God is in you. But when you walk up to each other, do you see each other and realize, oh my goodness, Nathan Cordell, the Spirit of God is living in Nathan Cordell. I mean, if we walked around with that as if we actually believed that, I think we'd treat each other way different. I mean, the potential in that, the idea of the power, the forgiveness, the grace, the life, the power that God would put in each of us, and we would see that if you lived as if that was true. Look at these, I'm going to skip a couple verses here. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Can you imagine as if we lived as if this was really true? I mean, how many things would you try for him or do for him? Or how many people would you speak to who now you're intimidated by or you're afraid or you're worried about what they'll think of you? And how would that change everything you do, every encounter you have? If you lived as if this was true. And the next little section I wanted to look at, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened or death? Nope. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, or worries about tomorrow, nor the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That verse 37, I want to just center and land on 37. As if you believed this, and you lived as if this was true. No, despite all these things, this is in the New Living Translation, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Now that's not the version I'm familiar with. I didn't grow up with this. I grew up with this. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I started looking at those two different translations. Of course, overwhelming victory does mean more than conquerors. But there's something about more than a conqueror that says more to me than overwhelming victory. I don't know why. It just does. But here's the thing. If I lived as if I was more than a conqueror, I mean, not just a conqueror. Conqueror is good, isn't it? Wouldn't it be good if you lived as if you were a conqueror? But if you're going to live as if you're more than a conqueror, that's living above and beyond what even a normal Christian would live, even a victorious conquering Christian would live. Let me make this practical. Are you going to live as if you're a sinner or if you're a sinner saved by grace? Which one are you going to live as? Because the truth is, I think most of us live somewhere in the middle and most of the time probably in the sinner part. But I'm challenging you today to live beyond that as if God has done all those things and changed everything for you. For that to happen, though, you're going to have to live and step into that identity on a daily basis. You're going to have to look at yourself differently than you do now. Those five things I said earlier, how you look at yourself, how you think you are, how you think other people think you look, how you want to make them think you look, all those things, you're going to actually have to do it. You're going to have to look at yourself as if the way God looked at you was actually true, not the way you look at you. As an example, real quick, consider how Jesus treated people. Consider the disciples he chose. You know, really, if I was choosing a group to change the world, it wouldn't have been those guys. No offense, but, and I'm sure they're up in heaven like, yeah, what about you? Yeah, but that's fine. We can talk later. But the truth is, Jesus saw something different in them and he treated them differently. You know, Peter, he's still my favorite, always will be. What was he like? He was impetuous and rash and made big decisions and probably emotional and jumped off at the, you know, knee jerk and all that, right? What did Jesus call him? The Rock. He called him the Rock. Not Dwayne Johnson. He called him the Rock. The Rock implies that he is stable and serious and got this thing under control and something you could build on, somebody you could trust. Not the person he was, but the person Jesus saw him as. And Peter eventually lived as if this was true. That's what he did. Look at the brothers, James and John. You know, if you look at the scriptures, do you remember what their mama did? Went to Jesus on their behalf and said, hey, when you're in your glory, can my boys sit, you know, one on your right, one on your left? I mean, talk about mama's boys, right? But what did Jesus call them? He called them sons of thunder. Right? I mean, he saw in them what nobody else saw. And then what happened with all those guys? I mean, the fact is with James and John, James was the first disciple martyred. And John wrote five books in the New Testament. He saw them and he treated them as if what he saw in them was true. Not what the reputation was or what people thought about him. And God does that to you today. And he sees things in you and says, live like these things are true, as if they're true. You need to believe what God says about you is true. God's as if. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You need to believe the as ifs that God says about you. And what does he say about you? He says you're more than a conqueror. He says you are redeemed. He says you are forgiven. He says you're one of his children. That changes everything. Everything, everything. This friend of mine, he was telling me years ago, he's telling me when he puts his little girls to bed, as he prays for him, he tells them, you are a princess. You are chosen by God. You are somebody that God loves and loves so much. You are the apple of his eye. And as he was telling me that, he went on to say, he goes, I want them to live as if they believe that because it's true. God wants that for you. You know what else he wants? Or the fact is, you need someone to believe those as ifs that God says about you. Someone. I hope that's your husband or wife. I hope that's your friend. I hope that's someone you interact with on a daily basis, because there's times where we need encouragement from one another, from the brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe see you down or maybe see you talking down or talking yourself down and say, wait a minute, that's not who you are. I know who you are. God has done this for you and he's done this in you. We need that from each other. Last thing I want to challenge you to is this. You need to believe God's as ifs about someone else. One thing that I've seen over the years which grieves me is when there's times when there's people in the church who we don't give them room to grow. Or we try to hold them to a past which we would never want to be held to. And the fact is, God changes. He changes things. He changes things. He works changes in us. God sees past our problems. He sees past our shortcomings, our lack of faith, our careless sins, our personal quirks. And we need to give that gift to someone else. I want to close in prayer with you for a minute. I want you to leave here today inspired and encouraged and see yourself as if you are the child of God that he says you are. Father, I pray for these people in this room tonight. I pray, God, that they would see in themselves what you have already put in them. I pray even now that you would open up in their minds and just speak to them. Just give them, drop words or thoughts into their minds right now about what you have made them to be and the special things that you have put in them and the gifts that you have given them and the callings that you have called them to. I pray, God, that they would live as if that was true for them at every moment. I pray, God, that you would supply for us friends that would come alongside, brothers and sisters in Christ that would come alongside of us and believe those as if things for us and with us and encourage those things in us. And God, I pray for those who we come in contact with, that you would help us to believe those as if things for the people that we walk around and see day in and day out. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen. You are welcome to stay and pray. This place is always available for that. If there are things that you need prayer for through the week, please contact us. It's easy to do. You can certainly email me directly. You can always email info@CrownPointChurch, prayer@CrownPointChurch. You can call the office. We want to stand with you in prayer in any need. And I invite you, if you want to pray, you're welcome to pray. And I just ask that you would see yourself just how God sees you. Amen. God bless you tonight.